Good afternoon, Sunshine Country. It's 2 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock, 86 degrees at our studios. And as I've told you this morning and this afternoon, we're going to have the opportunity and pleasure now to visit with state representative and gubernatorial candidate Eddie Andrews with me this afternoon. Mr. Andrews, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for visiting with me this afternoon.
My pleasure.
I've been looking forward to getting to visit with you, learn more about Eddie Andrews and what makes you tick, some of your policy positions, and kind of where you're at. So looking forward to the conversation. So Representative Andrews, correct? You are from what district, Mr. Andrews?
I'm from District 43, which encompasses all of Johnston, Iowa, part of Urbandale, part of Southwest Ankeny, Sailorville, Lake area.
Let's back up a little bit. Where you are a pastor by trade, is that correct?
Well, I'm a lot of things. what pays the bills is I'm a tech entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, I have co-pastored a Hispanic congregation for about 13 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I still consider myself more of a church planter than a traditional pastor. And right now I'm supporting an English congregation.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Very good. So obviously faith is important to you.
Absolutely. It informs a lot of my decisions.
Okay. I think that's a good thing, Representative Andrews. I think that's a very good thing.
Yes. You know, I have this sign on my desk. I have several signs on my desk to remind myself who I represent. You know, one of them actually refers to the great people of my district. Another one refers to how I vote, right? Is it a moral vote? And it pretty much just says God, the Constitution, the district, and the people of the great state of Iowa. And it just
So where do I kind of lost you there for a second, Representative Andrews. So where does it? So you, like you said, you have worked in the ministry. We'll say that. How about that? And also an entrepreneur.
Sure.
So where? Why politics? Why did you choose originally to throw your hat in the ring and run for representative initially? What was the kind of what led you to that?
Well, it's personal. It's you know, it wasn't the sexiest thing, but mental health is what led me to throw my hat in the ring 3 terms ago. I'm in my 3rd term as a state representative.
Mm-hmm.
And we adopted a boy when he was 8. And then he had some difficulties. He had some mental health challenges. And you couldn't tell normally, but when he had an episode, it was clear to the family there was something going on, and unfortunately, we saw a lot of the holes in the system.
Yeah,
and yeah, we and then we lost him 6 years ago.
I'm sorry.
That's why we got involved in politics, and so kind of in his honor, I just decided to get involved in politics and try to fix things.
Okay. Now, I know I've been reading a little bit. You are married, correct?
Yes, I've been married to my high school sweetheart. I know it freaks people out when I say this, but we've been married 39 years. And when people look at us, they say, boy, you guys don't look like you're...
Well, you know, you and I have never met in person, but I'm looking through all of your information about you, and I'm a little surprised by that, to be honest with you. So,
yes, you know, we got married right after high school, and we have 2 lovely daughters. One is getting married at the end of the month. One got married last year, and the boy, of course, who we lost, and then helped raise my niece. So we've had a lively home, loving home, and yeah.
One of the things that I found quite interesting, by the way, is that you and your wife are of different political persuasions, we could say, correct?
I am shocked that you said that. I didn't know that.
Yeah, no. I'm surprised. That's a real shocker to you. And when we were talking about it off air, I was visiting with my wife, as a matter of fact. We worked together. And she said, yeah, it's kind of like James Carville and Mary Madeline. So there you go.
Oh, a little. You know what? That's actually a good book to read. They wrote a good book on that topic. But so my wife has been traditionally an independent for, 20 or 30 years.
And yeah.
Then every now and then she'll register as, you know, a Democrat or a Republican to vote for a specific person in a primary.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, she's been an independent for a long time. And we do, she's kind of a public figure. And so we do, I'm sorry.
Nope. I'm taking it in, Mr. Andrews. I'm taking it in.
So sorry about that. So yes, we're both. Some things we can't work together on.
And... Yeah. You know, so I've told people many times, I've told people many times that, so I'm a person that believes we should be able to talk to each other. In my family, we have people that are passionate on both sides of the aisle. So you have to be able to visit with people and take the good ideas, know when to filter through. So I think it's a good thing.
And disagree and not go after the person, challenge the idea, debate an idea, but understand that person is really trying to get to the very close to the same ideas that we have.
Yep, absolutely.
And what I didn't know is that roughly 25% of Iowans are like that. They're, you know, it's either Republican, Democrat, Republican, Independent, Democrat, Independent. They're married to someone who is not of the same political persuasion. And I've had so many people just say, you know what, I'm voting for you or have voted for you in part because of that, because they know you're listening to every angle. And so that, I think, helps me be a better elected official.
I think it's a strength. I absolutely think it's a strength. And to your point about not being able to talk to each other and have those, I blame social media. I blame social media every time I get a chance to do that. So, but absolutely, it is. I think it's a good thing to be able to talk to people. Most people, when you sit down and talk to people and you don't talk about the labels, Republican, Independent, Democrat, Green Party, whatever it is, put the labels away, have a conversation, you're going to find that there's a lot more common ground that you realize.
Sure. And I've seen that because I would consider myself a strong conservative. And yet I am the only Republican in the Iowa House and Iowa Senate who actually wins in a blue district. And, many of my colleagues, including, we went out to the White House, a month or two ago, a couple months ago, and they were so intrigued by that. You know, it's not the fact that I'm a conservative, but how do you win in that district? What does that conversation look like?
Right.
You're talking to people on the door, and we just talk about issues. We talk about issues. They know I'm conservative. They know, I'm pro-life. I'm pro Second Amendment. They know I'm a conservative, but they understand and appreciate that I talk about issues and we'll work with them on issues where we agree. Otherwise, you know, I'm sorry, I can't agree with you on this issue, but let's work together on the next one. And they really appreciate the fact that I listen to them. I don't dismiss them. And we do our best to try to represent all of them.
Let's talk. And by the way, we are visiting with Republican candidate, gubernatorial candidate, State Senator Eddie Andrews with us this afternoon. Let's talk about politics a little bit. So you're a three-term state representative, correct?
Three-term state representative, yes.
Let's talk about education, because over the last several terms, there have been many, many bills that come along, education from vouchers, education savings accounts, from the potential restructuring of the AEA, which was, you know, backed off of and changed a little bit. Cell phone or electronic device policy this last session. Tell me about where you come down on some of those issues. I know the savings account is one that has real, and I'm sure your email box was lit up with that as well. But so where you, tell me where you're at on those big ticket items as far as education is concerned.
Well, most of those I'm in agreement with. The ESAs, which I know some people refer to as vouchers, is technically not vouchers. We technically, vouchers are illegal in Iowa. We don't have those, but it is very similar to vouchers. Mm-hmm. I'm all about choice. I think parents should have the choice to educate their children in the way that child should be educated, best educated for that child. And I actually have a little bit of experience in that. We talked about our family. My girls went to public school K through 12. My niece, who we raised in our home, I think maybe from middle school on, went to public school, didn't really even think about it much. We have some fine schools here, but my boy, it really just didn't work for him. And despite talking to the school a zillion times, talking to teachers a zillion times, vice principals, principals, we just decided that it's not for him. We just can't make that work. And even way back then, I was glad we had options. And so this allows greater flexibility for parents to choose what is best for their children. Most parents still choose their public school, but for those who want another option, I'm all for choice. You mentioned the other big ticket items, cell phones in schools.
Yeah.
Well, one of my passions, as I have already mentioned, is mental health. And I was just reading a book earlier this year, The Anxious Generation, where it talked about the impact of telephones and not just socially, but literally it impacts how the frontal cortex of kids are forming now. There is a structural difference right now. And it even mentioned how even having a phone, even if it's on your desk, even if it's turned off, just the expectation of having that right there and you're expecting something takes away from of your school, of the picture that you're talking about. If you have classrooms, it is be a win.
I'm losing you a little bit, Mr. Andrews there. We are visiting with Representative Eddie Andrews this afternoon and by phone. And hopefully we can have him back here in just a minute and finish that thought. Eddie Andrews with me.
Okay.
There, are you there, Mr. Andrews?
Well, I never left. I'm with T-Mobile.
Our connection is just a little bit on the shaky side, and I think people understand that.
Apologies. And next time we will be in studio.
The door is open. The door is open for sure. I think we're going to find out at some point in time in the future that just the level of mental health issues, I don't want to say destruction, but the level of turmoil that our cell phones and all that goes along with that, from social media to bullying and pressure and all of those things, we're going to, in 10 or 15 years from now, we're going to realize the full impact of that, I think. Maybe now, maybe sooner.
Well, as I started to say, and I don't know where I lost you or the got lost.
Yeah.
But there are longer-term studies right now that are studying that, and it's a major negative impact. It's changing how our kids' frontal cortexes are being formed. And, you know, since the first iPhone came out in 2010, it's really, it has to be used wisely as they're growing up.
I have the opportunity to visit with a lot of our area school districts right here in Southwest Iowa. And I have yet to bump into an educator that was in opposition to removing our electronic devices from the classroom. I've yet to meet one.
Well, because they can see the effect immediately.
Yeah.
And the schools that have already, school districts who have already tried this for 1 or 2 years have all reported that the hall rooms are, the hallways are noisier, which they should be. I mean,
yep.
People are talking more.
Mm-hmm.
And that the classrooms are quieter and that the test scores have all gone up. And so it should be a win-win for everyone.
I want to talk about... Yes, sir.
Oh, and I was just going to say, you know, you had asked about education in general.
Sure.
I can tell you part of my plan is to get Iowa education back to number one. Now, I'm old enough to remember when Iowa reported the test scores every single year, and we were number one,
uh-huh.
number two, number three, every single year. It was an automatic expectation. We had high expectations for our state. And while we have stopped that downward trend, we aren't there, and we need to get back up and make sure that we are not just one, two, or three nationally, but it's a global field, and we need to make sure that Iowa education is back up to number one.
And I think most people are fully in support of that as well, Mr. Andrews. Absolutely. Can we talk about carbon pipelines for a minute? Because right here where we're at in Montgomery County, but
absolutely
along the west side of the county, there's a proposed carbon pipeline. Along the south side of the county, a proposed carbon pipeline. And then it goes on down into Fremont County and Adams County. Where do you come down on the whole debate specifically about, let's start with eminent domain. Where do you come down on eminent domain?
I hate it. I hate eminent domain abuse. I think it's unconstitutional. And every time I talk about it, even right now, I get a guttural reaction. I can't stand, no offense, I love capitalism, but I can't stand rich donors running roughshod over farmland and farmers and property owners. Last time I checked, we're celebrating 249th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence. I saw that yesterday. I was in Washington, D.C. I saw the original.
Oh, wow.
And it ticks me off. It burns me up that we know it's government's job to protect your property rights. It's not government's job to join hands with the rich donor and say, you know what, in this case, we're just going to take your land. And you know what? I was trying to explain this to someone, and I said, just imagine somebody says, hey, I've got this great, wonderful idea. It's going to be great for Iowa. I'm just going to need your land to do it.
Yeah.
And if you don't sell or lease, I'll just get government to help me. And I'm like, no way. And so if it's not fixed by the time I get to be governor, that will be number one. That will be fixed on day one. Eminent domain should not be used for private gain. It's absolutely abhorrent to me.
So, period.
I can go further.
You didn't leave a lot of gray area there, Mr. Andrews. I mean, you're pretty clear on that.
And this wasn't just something that I joined on. There are people who come to the Capitol every week, literally every week, for the last 4 years, and I've stood with them. If you know anything about me, there's kind of a humorous joke. You know, people chuckle about how many selfies I take, and, you know, it's all in fun. But one of the things that selfies do is they document. And we just happened to go through the other day how many times I had pictures with anti-pipeline people.
Right.
And we counted 43 different events, whether it's at the Capitol, whether it's off the, you know, in Polk County, out of Polk County, and whether it was a press conference, 43 different events. And so that tells you the amount of time and effort that we've spent with this. I'm actually one of the, what we call the interveners, who are suing Let me just repeat that. The several Republican legislators are suing the Republican-appointed Iowa Utilities Commission for overstepping their boundaries and not protecting the farmland like they should.
So a couple of thoughts. You know, this is an issue that I've had the opportunity to visit with a few people about, and I've yet to meet someone, kind of like the cell phone, I've yet to meet someone that wholeheartedly endorses the eminent domain in this case. I've yet to meet that person. They may be out there, but I've yet to meet that person. The other one is... I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, the other one is the argument that some of the legislation that went through around eminent domain was it makes it difficult in the future. Well, eminent domain should be difficult. It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be easy. Even in a legitimate use for eminent domain, and there are those uses, it should be difficult. Yes, it shouldn't be easy, in my opinion.
Right. Typically, those are reserved, I mean, we all know this, for roads, railroads, sometimes a public utility. But they shouldn't be just because somebody's got a big light bulb idea. And quite honestly, the science behind it is a little voodoo science. I mean, it's not even... The whole concept would not even be an issue without the previous administration, the presidential administration's tax credits, tax incentives, and it's part of their Green New Deal voodoo science project. And unfortunately, people are following the money that is left on the table where they can get up to $1.9 billion a year tax credits. And so, unfortunately... It is, you know, they're not stopping because they see dollars. And so we have to fight that much harder. But I guarantee you that if Eddie Andrews is your next governor, eminent domain abuse will stop on day one.
So I don't know how much time you have, Mr. Andrews, but I have a couple of other topics I want you to touch on.
Your time is mine.
Okay. So the other one, that have you had the opportunity to look at cancer rates in Iowa?
Yes.
And I don't...
Go ahead.
And I don't know how, you know, what you can do to address that or to look at that or to study that, but it's alarming, quite frankly, if you look at cancer rates in Iowa.
It is alarming. When that study first came out, I immediately was shocked. I reread the entire study. Not just listened to the news report, but I went to the study and reread that and then reread it. I talked to one of the doctors who's at the state house. This particular person is a Democrat, who's a medical doctor. And I said, "What do you think about this?" And we both kind of agreed that let's look at the data first before we start making any
good
projections and decisions. And that's what I know I have been doing. We did start making attempts in the legislation to really address the things that we know. For instance, we passed a bill in the House to give tax credits to anyone who wanted a radon detector.
Yeah,
right. Up to I believe it was for up to $1,000. Again, we don't know for sure if that's the main contributor, but we do know that radon causes cancer, right? And
sure,
we do know that radon is high in Iowa. And so let's make that available to as many people as possible. So we're giving tax credits. That bill passed the House. We looked at other known cancer-causing issues and really tried to make that as detectable and easy to detect and make that widespread available to all Iowans. But the truth is, we are still learning. We're still gathering information. I can tell you that during the Governor Reynolds' condition of the state, I can't tell you how loud the Democrats, and we've all seen these things where, you know, Democrats don't applaud on, you know, conservative issues, but all the Democrats loved Governor Reynolds' study that she announced on that. because that's exactly what we need to do. And once those data points are discovered, what really is causing this? I can't think of a representative or a state senator of either party who won't be on board. And certainly as governor, that will be something that I will be championing.
So, and that is it's a big issue. I think one or two states that continue to have increasing cancer rates. Most are steady or declining, and yet Iowa's not for whatever reason. The other thing, too, that has garnered a lot of attention, this goes to many municipalities and counties, about property tax reform is a big ticket item. It was, as you well know, you've addressed it, you've talked about it. So where are we at on property tax reform? What do you see happening there? And what's your plan as governor? What are we going to do?
Okay, so you probably know that I've been the leader in this, in talking about this over the last year and a half. So let me just break down what I call the two approaches.
Okay.
There's an approach that is in the House and Senate. It's a joint proposal. And I think they're on phase three, right? They presented one phase modification, let that sit out there, get feedback. Version two, version three, I think they're on. And my guess is we probably won't do anything until version five. I mean, it really is complicated.
Yeah.
And because it's complicated, I have been leading on the opposite, on the other approach. And so it's a little weird because I'm still a state representative, but I'm running for governor, and I really want to do the second option. And that's really just blow the whole system up, of course, in a phase,
right. Phase
it in, and start over. Because there are it's so complicated. First of all, the state doesn't collect any property taxes. It's the counties and cities, mm-hmm. municipalities, schools, county hospitals, I mean, who actually charges the assessment. And so what we could do at the state level is change how that is carried out, and just change the entire system. But I do think it is wrong. We still have people who have paid off their homes, even with diminishing income on a fixed income now. I know one lady in my district who's in her 90s and a very fixed income and has to get assistance every year to pay her property taxes. So it's kind of like rent forever, and we have to change that model.
Mm-hmm.
If you're around me more than a few minutes, you know that I like to challenge assumptions. And so I challenge the assumption that every year we should be surprised what our property tax bill is. No, like, why do you even accept that? Like, oh, honey, here's the mail. It's from the assessor's office. Oh man, let's see what this is going to be. You know, that whole concept doesn't work. Even when the rates go down, magically the assessment goes up, so you end up paying more anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, right. Well, it is, like you said, it's not a simple solution, though. Maybe it is. Maybe, and we tend to make things more complicated than necessary. So I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, but it is it's a big issue for sure.
And even what we call the school formula, colloquially we will say school funding, but it's called supplemental school aid. That formula that we use to fund schools is one of those things where the more you know about it, the more you realize you don't know. And so it's really complicated that only a few people actually fully understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And because that is part of the property tax whole structure, anytime you start messing with RIF funds or school formulas, you have to change the whole thing. And think of it almost like a Jenga puzzle. you know, you start changing this little piece over here, and then this little piece over on the right starts changing, and it's unnecessarily complex. It doesn't need to be so. And I think as governor, I would put a little more direction in that and solve it once and for all.
Yeah, that's another one of my pet peeves, is school funding is a terrible it should not be that complicated, Mr. Andrews. It should be clear so that people can understand this. What's it called? Fund budgeting or budget funding or whatever it's called for schools. It should be easy for, or at least understandable for people, especially property taxes, which goes into your school taxes or for your financing your school. It shouldn't be as complicated as it is, in my opinion.
We agree.
It should be streamlined. Right. It should be simplified so people can understand it, in my opinion.
You're not getting an argument from me.
I'm not.
I lost you a little bit, but I agree with everything I heard.
So let's talk about, and by the way, Eddie Andrews with me, Representative Eddie Andrews, who is running for governor, a Republican candidate for governor. So one of the other things recently, and then I'll let you go. I appreciate your time very much. IPERS. It was recently released that the potential change for IPERS, I think it has been kind of pushed back at this point, as far as an efficiency model for the state. Are you in favor of that or not in favor of that? What's your thought on IPERS?
No. I like to keep IPERS like it is. But can I just say a couple things here before I go?
Absolutely.
The first thing I want to say is, as you were introducing me as a governor candidate, I must tell you that we were so happy that over the last 10 days of the Iowa State Fair, we won the straw poll.
Yes, you did, as a matter of fact. Shocked. Pretty handily.
I know. Yes, I think we were in the four-way race. There, we were at 38, almost 39, roughly 38 point something. And I think the next one was 28 and 27, and then I think there was a five.
That's a double digit. But, that's a double digit right there,
well,
Mr. Andrews.
There's a reason why people are excited about my candidacy, and it's and I'm honored to listen to them. But now to the question about IPERS.
Yeah.
I actually sent out a press release a few days ago about this. And so it was a longer one, but two things to say about that. I think IPERS should stay like it is. There's no secret that it's one of the recruiting tools for state workers, in part because, if I hope I won't get in trouble if I say it this way, crappy pay.
Go right ahead, yeah.
State workers have, right? You never really want to compete fully against the private sector, but at some point you do need to make sure that you can attract and retain good talent. And it's one of the tools that that allows people to justify the salaries that they have or staying with the state.
Right.
Having said that, I do think, you know, the backlash, I think, was overblown, completely overblown, because this came from the Doge's. It was a list of Doge recommendations.
Right.
And if you think about it, these guys are just providing recommendations.
Yep.
It's a way to brainstorm. And I think that's healthy. I don't think we should shoot the messenger. If that's an idea, let's talk about it. Let's bring it to the forefront. Even if we disagree on that issue, I've seen many of these good people who are serving and volunteering their time to really dig into and to ways to make the state better, and they're getting dinged and the reality, we should be thanking them, and we want their ideas. We want new ideas. Part of the reason that if you look at the federal level, Social Security, quite honestly, if it's not changed, it's going to go broke.
It's going to necessarily change.
Will,
one way or the other.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's because of things like this. Anytime you mention something and try to have an adult conversation and do simple math, and, you know, we remember the commercials of someone rolling off grandma off the cliff, you know.
I think it was Paul, like, I think it was Paul Ryan rolling grandma off the cliff, I think, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
So, but yeah.
Just, let's have a good conversation. And I appreciate Doge's effort. The governor's established that organization to, it's a volunteer team.
Yep.
And these are business people who are smart, who have successful careers, and they're volunteering their time to really help our state. And so I think that should be applauded.
Yeah.
Having said that, on this particular item, I would prefer, I mean, keep sending me ideas, but on this one, I would like to, at this point, keep it the same.
I think it should be a matter of policy to always, when you're dealing with taxpayer dollars, and it should always be a matter of policy of how to be more efficient, in my opinion. Now, like you say, these are ideas. Let's talk about it. Let's be efficient. I mean, and I'm not advocating a stance as far as I don't fully understand the IPRS system. I'm vaguely aware of it. Certainly not an expert, but yeah, you want it. You, like you say, it's one of those great perks that are one of the better perks that many of those employees have. So it's a good thing. But
and
yeah,
one other thing on that is what people fail to remember is that legislators are on IPRS.
Yeah.
And there are exactly zero that I know of who want to get rid of IPRS. And so it's almost kind of silly to suggest that it's going away when the people who would vote on it aren't in favor of getting rid of it. So, but keep the ideas coming.
You bet. So how can people learn more about Eddie Andrews, Representative Eddie Andrews, what you stand for, what your positions are? How can they find out more information about you?
Well, I'm glad you asked. So, Aaron, people can reach me. Again, my name is Eddie Andrews. You can go to Eddie4Iowa, and that's the numeral 4, so E-D-D-I-E, number 4, I-O-W-A.com. I'm on the primary socials. I'm on Facebook as Eddie4Iowa. I'm on X, Eddie Andrews. And Instagram, I'm on Eddie Andrews Rocks. And yes, I did get that long, 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 long time before I was in politics. It's kind of funny. But my phone number, it is my cell number, the one I'm talking to you on right now, 515-800-IOWA. That's 515-800-4692. I put that on every piece of literature that I've passed out in the last 5 or 6 years. And sometimes people just call that number just to see if I'm a real person. So I try to make myself available. Many of my colleagues have often refer to me as one of the hardest working guys at the State House and one of the most available at the State House.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm always available. Give me a holler, and I want to be your next governor.
I look Thanks. Forward to it. That is, I know there are a lot of folks that have thrown their hat and continue to throw their hat in the ring. It's a lot of work, a lot of effort. A lot of fundraising goes along with it, so I hope people, and like you say, you dominated that straw poll over at the state fair, so I don't know. Worth the look, yeah. I think, Mr. Well, Andrews.
Pardon me?
I said, I think it's worth a look to check you out, look what you have done, what you stand for, and some of your positions. I think people should go over to your website, check it out, see what they think.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We've been to 30-some counties already in the last 8 weeks, and another 69 to go. Senator Grassley said, Eddie, I think you're going to do the Grassley twice, so you should just do it twice and call it the Eddie.
There you go. Well, the next time you're down in Southwest Iowa, make sure you stop by the studios and we'll visit a while.
Make it a point.
Very good. Thank you, sir, for your time. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you to you, Aaron, and to the KCSI audience.
Make it a great day. Again, Eddie Andrews with us, gubernatorial candidate, state representative, and just a real fun guy to visit with, as a matter of fact. So our thanks to Mr. Andrews for his time.